The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. After he had fed the people, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up on the mountain to himself, by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught Peter and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. The Gospel today is about the church. So says St. Augustine, who also said that Scripture also often has two meanings: the physical meaning, which is what the text actually says, and the spiritual meaning, which is the meaning underneath the text, often of a symbolic nature. Even before St. Augustine, the early church fathers often said that when the disciples get into a boat in the Gospels, especially with Peter at the head of the boat, the spiritual meaning of that passage is talking about the church. This is where we get the phrase, the bark of Peter. A bark is a kind of boat, like Noah's Ark, that carried all life on the earth safely during the great flood. And as a matter of architectural fact, many of the Gothic churches were meant to look like boats because they symbolized the church making its way safely through the tumultuous waters of the world. So let's examine today's gospel in that light. Jesus tells Peter and the other disciples to get into the boat and go across the lake. The lake here symbolizes time, history. It's as if Jesus launches the church into the lake of history, taking with it his teaching, his commands, his love. And Jesus goes off then to be with the Father to accompany his church through the Holy Spirit. This is the idea behind Jesus not getting into the boat with them and instead going up on a mountain to pray. And then a storm kicks up. History shows that the Church of Jesus Christ has been through terrible storms in her history. Opposition, fear, persecution, martyrdom. By the way, the 20th century was the worst in terms of the sheer number of Christians killed for their faith, much more than any other century before it. Unfortunately, the 21st century is ramping up to perhaps rival it. But you don't hear it on the news because it's in groups of tens and twenties. But also in the church's history, we see sin and scandal at times. And the church in our own time is no different. These are huge storms, with all the wind and waves that have beset the church and made it seem like we would never survive intact. And then we hear that during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus walks on the water toward the boat while the disciples cried out in fear. Now, the fourth watch, that would have been between 3 and 6 a.m. Have you ever woken up at 3 a.m.? And then those fears that vex all of us begin to work on us so that we can't get back to sleep? It makes us miserable, wallowing there in our fears for what seems like an eternity. So, here are the disciples at the darkest time of the morning, sick with fear about the storm that is enveloping them. And this is when they see the Lord walking on the water. Water is a basic image in the Old Testament. We are told in Genesis that the earth was a formless void, a watery chaos, when the Spirit of God hovered over it as creation began and brought order out of chaos or nothingness. We see God part the waters of the Red Sea, which blocked Moses and the people from escaping Egypt. We see God part the waters of the Jordan River to allow the passage of the people into the promised land. Water many times symbolizes that which is opposed to God. So here in this gospel, Jesus walks on the water, meaning he has conquered it, and calms the storm. It symbolizes the fact that Jesus is God's own power, which has commissioned the church, has set it off on its journey, and which accompanies it throughout history, especially at its darkest times, in the person of the Holy Spirit, symbolized here by the disciples thinking that Jesus was a ghost. And then Peter speaks, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." When Peter speaks, it's symbolic of the church speaking. And Jesus says to us, "Come. You'll be able to do some of the things I can do because of the grace I give you." So Peter walks on the water toward the Lord. But when he sees how strong the storm is, he begins to sink. Now Jesus gives to his church inspiration, teaching, direction, but most importantly, himself, his presence to us. "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me," says St. Paul. In baptism, on our boat, we are grafted onto Christ. We share in his divine life. He has a lordship over the waters, a lordship over any evil, any hardship, any crisis. And so when he calls to the church, "Come to me, walk on that water," and Peter does it, we are being taught that the church in Christ has this power to endure, has this power to conquer even the worst of our oppositions and crises, at least until Peter looks away. His eyes go off Jesus. He loses focus and lets his surroundings get the best of him, and he begins to sink. When the church looks primarily at the wind and the waves, and sometimes that happens, you know, you can imagine, like when wars started up in Europe, how much that distracted the church and her leadership. When the church looks away from Christ and sees only the dark storm around us, then we sink. But when we keep our eyes fixed on the Lord and are linked to his power, then we are able to conquer even the worst opposition. Jesus stretches out his hand and catches Peter, chiding him for losing his focus. "Fear is useless. What is needed is trust," says the Lord in another gospel. But even though Peter let himself get overwhelmed, Jesus still catches the church and saves her from sinking. We have seen this over and over and over again in history. Things get so bad in the church that any rational person would say, "The church is done." And then the Lord saves her. Sometimes it takes him a while, at least in our estimation, but the church is still here, along with Peter's successor, 2,000 years now. Governments don't last that long. Why? Because he told us, "Behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." And upon this rock of Peter I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld will not prevail against it. Then Jesus gets on the boat, the storm is calmed, and it says in the text that they did him homage. However, what the Greek actually indicates is that they worshipped him as God in that boat, in the bark of Peter, the church. And then they proclaimed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is what the church has always said and must always say to the world. We as the church must have faith and trust in God's ability to continually save her. We must keep our eyes fixed on the Lord and not allow our environment to overcome us. And we will keep worshiping as Lord in our boat until the day it brings us to the other side, to the shore of eternal life.